he had no information. So, you know, that always makes it uneasy for all of us, because now you get into the speculation situation. You don't know what's happening.
Al, at any time did you or Chris or anybody, you know, on the crew notice Chase Daniel warming up on the sidelines at any point?
No, not at that point. We did not. And I'm not sure he warmed up for any great length of time, if indeed he did. Well, cameras catch most everything, but not everything. And it's conceivable that in that particular circumstance, with all of the cameras that we have, you know, you can't cover 100% of the acreage. So maybe he, you know, threw a couple of passes on the side. I don't know. But we have no evidence of it.
Really good stuff with Al Michaels. We had him on again yesterday. We had him on last Thursday. One of the great broadcasters of all time. And then we had him on yesterday to just sort of take us through the confusion of what was going on in the booth. And no one saw this. Did it really happen? Nagy said, yes, he definitely warmed up. He said not only did he throw the football, but he was taking snaps from Cody Whitehair, the starting center. So one thing I want to bring up, Waddle, is a lot of people like to say, Sylvie, it's not just, or not just, they don't just point to me. They point to a lot of people and they say, it's not just Trubisky. And we've documented
of
that.
Of course. I mean, there hasn't been a show where we have said it's just Mitch and Mitch alone. We've always been on that.
You could point to the coach. You could point to the line. You could point to some of the weapons. No run game. Yeah. I get it. The thing that we've never had here, and it's a good topic for a show in the future, and JD brought this up. JD asked the question the other day to Cap, why haven't the Bears been able to go to back-to-back postseason since 05-06? And the answer to me is, it's the quarterback. That's the greatest equalizer in sports. No, the quarterback, it's hard. It's really hard for a quarterback to do it by himself. But what are we seeing in Seattle?
Russ is the constant. Russ makes everybody better.
Right, and not only that, but if you have they've had questionable line play at times. Yeah. They've had injuries with a wide receiver. They've had not a deep wide receiving core, but they still continue to win.
Well,
and the quarterback, we've never had a quarterback in this town who is better than the team, who could raise the team. Despite, right. Okay, we've got some problems at offensive line. We've got some problems with the run game. And this guy's going to go out and make us better because he's the most important position in all of sports. We've never had that.
True. And the combination of the quarterback and the coach, don't overlook that as well. Because, you look at the game on Sunday night. What did Sean McVay do? Sean McVay, I mean, there's an article out there that shows you what was the essence of the article about what Sean McVay did. Not the O-line deserves credit for neutralizing Khalil Mack. He had three offensive linemen that weren't playing. He was without his two top receivers. What did he do? They became a running football team. They took the ball out of Jared Goff's hands. He hadn't been playing well. So the coach made a decision to be somebody that he hasn't been his entire time in L.A. because he had to make an adjustment to help give his team the best chance to win. So when you talk about the quarterback, yes, the most important. But how that quarterback and that coach work together is very important as well. And that's where you see the consistency with the teams that are constantly in the postseason.
When you go to the gate, there's always the notion that you can win because your quarterback is great. Do you know what I mean? And
sure.
Yeah, it's going to hurt if the line is banged up. And yeah, if the run game's not, it's never helpful. But there are quarterbacks around the league who do make their team better despite all of that.
Sure.
And that's the essence of getting a great quarterback. Tim Hasselbeck has joined us for years in our quarterback hell. And we've talked about this from Jay Cutler to Mike Lennon to now Mitch Trubisky, and it looks like we're getting back to ground zero again.
We need to be held collectively, I think.
Tim, can you hold us?
Well, now that you brought it up about going back that far, I think our relationship started with you vehemently disagreeing with me on Jay Cutler.
I think that's true. I mean, not all great relationships started off on the right foot, Tim. We all know that.
I take the L now. Look, yeah. I was young and stupid then.
Look, yeah, you guys are in a bad spot with it. It's a really bad spot. And I think that, I don't know that it's been handled great. It's a little bit like the kicker situation. It's been a bad spot with the kicker situation. I don't know that that's been handled appropriately either. But you guys are dead on in terms of it's always more than one thing. But the hope is that, you know, your quarterback, you know, is able to elevate the water level to, you know, elevate all ships in the water. I mean, that's what you want to do. I think the best compliment that anybody can ever give a quarterback is that he makes everybody around him better. That's probably the best thing that you can ever say about a quarterback. And you guys mentioned Russell Wilson. You can't deny that he has made the people around him significantly better. He just has. And that's a really big deal.
Yeah. So before we look at these specifics here, as you project, because Sylvie has an interesting web poll question about the future, because we've already given up on the 2019 season here in Chicago. But I think as we've talked to different people, Tim, we see things in more of an immediate fashion here in Chicago, whereas folks around the country who watch this game closely tend to have a more patient perspective when it comes to the coach and the quarterback in this town.
Well, I would just say this. I mean, you guys, you know, last year's season, I think, felt like a building block for everybody, probably locally and nationally.
Yes.
You know? And so, you know, I do think it's a little premature to just say, all right, here we go, one bad season, we're out. You know, like we're turning the page, Mitch can't play, you know, adios, you know, let's find someone new. The truth is, when you are drafted as a top 10 pick, you get to your fifth-year option. I mean, guys, go look at Tennessee and look at Tampa Bay. And it doesn't mean those situations have worked out. But you, if you're a first-round draft pick at quarterback, you get to the fifth-year option of your deal. I mean, that's what happens in the NFL. So I think that's probably the reality of the situation in Chicago. Because, you know, if it's not Mitch, then who is it? Who are you willing to go pay big money for to pay as a starting quarterback? I mean, who is it?
There's not. And, like, the options are, here are the list of options that we've talked about. You can go out and try to find money and sign Teddy Bridgewater. You can take a flyer on Marcus Mariota. Mark Helfrich is the Bears OC. He was the head coach when Mariota set the records at Oregon, and Ryan Pace was very high in Mariota in that draft, and let the two compete. You could go out and get Andy Dalton. You could try to trade for Cam Newton. Though, I mean, none of them are good. Like, that's what I've tried to preach to our...
And I thought, listen, those are all good names and they all make sense. And there's a real possibility that you do have some combination of those. And it, look, you know, Marcus Mariota is a great example of a guy that, like, he hasn't earned the right to just have a backup that's a backup. He earned the right to have a backup that's a former starter that wants to still play. And guess what? That guy's playing now. So, yeah, I mean, Marcus Mariota is next year's version of Ryan Tannehill. He most definitely is. And
but in that environment, Tim, doesn't, if that thing would deplay itself out, doesn't Mitch start the season as your starter? And if he fails the way that Mariota, then Mariota comes in and plays the Tannehill role.
Yes, but here's the thing. You're doing that, I guess it would be a year before the Titans did that with Mariota.
Right.
You know, like, you're jumping the gun a year by comparison. So, look, he needs to compete with somebody. You hope that the competition brings the best out of him. But confidence is a really, really crazy thing. And, you know, he doesn't look like a guy that's playing with confidence. And, I, you know, it's a little bit like the second baseman that can't throw at the first. It just is. So, you know, and I will say this. You know, I was listening as, you know, I was, you know, getting ready to come on with you. I was listening to the Al Michaels interview. Here's the other aspect of this. The team screwed up the other night because they made it worse. You have to know as a team that you are now dealing with a situation where people are going to ask, hey, is he your starter this week? And because of that, it's not like pulling Tom Brady and putting in Jared Stidham at the end of the game. When you pull your quarterback, people want to know, oh, are you unhappy? You making a move? And if that's the, like, and if you're not doing that, then you better be ahead of it. Like, Bears PR should have told Al and Chris prior to Mitchell coming out onto the field or coming off the field. They should have been upstairs and been like, "Hey, listen, he's got a hip pointer, he's out." Then that way, the message was received. That like, be ahead of it. If you're not benching him, if you're not pulling him for performance, then everyone's got to be on the same page and manage it correctly. Like, that's what the really good teams do. And I didn't think the Bears handled that well at all.
Yeah. And then what about the coach then, Tim? And we're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. I'm not calling Matt Nagy a liar, but I don't believe that it's 100% certain, like Nagy said yesterday, that the only reason why Mitch was benched was because of the injury. I believe if he was playing better, guys get the opportunity to play through that stuff all the time. So he's been bad, and now he's hurt, so the decision became easier for him. What do you say?
Yeah, I think there's probably... I think you're probably right about that. This idea that head coaches only tell the truth to the media, I mean, like, who are we kidding? You know, like, I've probably said to you guys a number of times, like, I love Andy Reid. Like, if I were to ever coach, I would hope that I could coach like Andy Reid coaches. Like, he is great, and I think he's a stand-up guy and all that stuff. But, like, he doesn't tell the full truth to the media when he talks to them. Like, you just, like, you don't always have to, you know, tell the whole truth to it. Now, do I think you're probably right? Yeah, the guy's not playing great. His hip's bothering him. You know, it's a two-score game with 3 minutes or whatever, and you're like, we've got nothing going. Like, you know what? Like, I'm going to shut you down, man. Like, and it's basically because I don't really think that you're going to help us come back and win the game. So, like, I'm doing it. Now, does he need to say that to, you know, everybody that's got a microphone in his face right after the game? I don't think he needs to, and I think it would only make it worse.
You know, just to reiterate, too, and we played your soundbite, I think, from Golic and Wingo from a few weeks back. You're telling us our quarterback is Steve Sachs, or our quarterback is Mark Wohlers, a guy who throws for a living who now can't throw because he's got the yips.
I'm not saying that he has the yips, but I am saying that... I'm saying that he looks like a guy who's shook, and I don't know that it's been managed properly, and I think that it's a lot easier to teach a guy, you know, X's and O's and how to read a play and to clean up footwork than it is to help a guy regain his confidence. And I think that that's one of the most impressive things about Kirk Cousins. You know, everyone wants to bash Kirk Cousins, but all he's done for the last 4 years is listen to everybody say that he's not good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he throws for over 4,000 yards and, you know, 25-plus touchdowns. Like, that to me is like mental toughness. Like, that's impressive. And I think for Mitch, you know, Mitch experienced a little bit of success, and then he's had some adversity this year, and it's just continued to spiral in the wrong direction. It just has. And overcoming that, I think, is really, really hard. Really hard.
Tim, I agree with your assessment that Mitch has looked shook. I also feel that Matt Nagy at times has been shook, and he has seemed shook. And when he talks at the press conference at times, it seems like he is shook. I don't know if it's he doesn't trust his quarterback. I don't know what it is, but how much of what has gone wrong, and a lot has gone wrong, because I believe there's only two teams, like the Dolphins and the Jets, who have better or have worse offensive stats than this Bears offense right now. How much of it is the coach who hasn't done a good enough job getting the most out of his quarterback and accentuating what Mitch does do fairly well at times?
Yeah, there's no doubt that that's part of it. I don't think that he's done a good job, and I think that the way that he's communicated with the media has not been great, and, you know, everything, and obviously a lot of the stuff about, you know, not watching the TV or watching the TV copy and all that stuff and body language. Like, there are some things you don't need to share with everybody, you know? Like, there's a lot that goes on that doesn't need to, you know, be made public, especially in a market like yours, because people are going to run with it and interpret it in various ways. It's just, I don't know what the benefit of that is. You want, you know, encourage your quarterback to have better body language. You can do that without anybody else knowing. So I would say just from that standpoint, and then from a coaching standpoint, you know, I heard you guys, you know, talking about Sean McVay a little bit as well. And the truth is, McVay's struggled with that this year. Like, that's been an issue for him. So,
I think this past Sunday, Tim, was the first time I've seen McVay kind of check his genius card at the door and actually do what is best for his team, or what was in the best interest of his team offensively this year.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I think that there was a change, and you know, when you look at quarterback play, and you know, a young guy, and you know, is it getting better? Is it getting worse? You know, look, there are moments for Jared Goff that have been terrible. And I will say this, and you know, kind of you guys alluded to the stuff where it's like, you know, it's not just the quarterback; it's always, you know, a number of things. You know, truth be told, you know, offensive line play is a really good indicator to whether or not your quarterback can be successful. And it's, I think that it's hard to be a bad team with a really good offensive line. I think that it's easy to look pedestrian when you are struggling up front. And I think the Bears have struggled up front. The Rams are a great example of a team that have really struggled up front. And there are very few guys, okay, you guys were talking about Russell Wilson. There are very few guys like Russell Wilson that can, you know, that can fix those blemishes, that can fix those issues. And most teams don't have those quarterbacks. And so, you know, you need to do a good job, and scheme's a part of it. So, yeah, all of that is an issue. And but with that being said, I'll still go back to what I said, and you guys heard me say in Golic and Wingo. The bigger issue for me would be the guy's confidence. That to me, is the bigger issue, because – you can end up fixing your offensive line. You can get better wide receivers and all of that stuff. It's hard to fix a guy's confidence.
And that's why, Tim, I can't go to the gate next year with him as my starting quarterback. I understand what you're saying about the fifth year. But to me, I've got to have, at minimum, a competition like we were saying. Like, you're Andy Reid. Let's pretend you are Andy Reid, and you're watching this happen this year. Uh-huh. And this was a team that a lot of people picked to go to the Super Bowl, or at least to be in the mix, not 4-6.
So what are you comfortable doing? Okay, you comfortable paying Teddy Bridgewater more than anybody else would offer him? Are you comfortable doing that and having him come in and compete? Because here's the thing. If Teddy's going to sign with you.
Right, he's not competing.
He's got to feel like he's got a real shot to win the job.
Of course.
Well, there's no competition there.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm saying if Teddy comes to town, Teddy's the starter. Period. End of story.
Do you think he's that much better than your guy?
Well, yes. I think that you spend whatever Teddy's going to cost you, that investment is going to, you know, It's going to make you have to start him.
I mean, Tim, you're the quarterback guy. Let me ask you this. How many starters in the league today do you believe are worse than Mitch?
Well, starters, you know, I don't know. Here's what I would say. I'm not sure that you guys get markedly better with Teddy Bridgewater. I really don't. You know, I mean,
Who could possibly, then I guess the better question would be then, who's out there? What option would you say, in your opinion, be a better option than going to the gate next year with Mitch as your guy?
I'll give you an example. I think that, and I'm not a huge fan, but I think the Panthers are done with Cam. See, the last year of his deal, they can get out. It's like a $2 million cap hit. You know, he seems like a distracted guy. He's not been healthy. Kyle Allen is a free quarterback. Now, he needs to play better than he played this past weekend. But if he plays well, you have a free quarterback, and you can draft somebody, make him compete with him. You know, like, there's a better path
right
if you're, you know, the Carolina Panthers. There's no doubt about it.
The problem with the Bears situation is A, you're financially cap strapped to a certain degree because you've paid Khalil Mack and a lot of other guys, and you don't have any draft picks to use because you gave those up in the trade for Khalil Mack. So they're kind of stuck with either Mitch or a second tier option at this point.
Yeah, and so, like, it's, you know, you mentioned Teddy, it's going to be Tannehill, Mariota, Winston. You know, I guess you probably hope that Cam gets cut rather than traded, but he probably doesn't. You know, he probably gets traded, more likely to be traded than cut, in my estimation. So, yeah, look, I think that ultimately it's a tough spot. Like, I don't, you know, like it's in here, but I think you guys are a year premature on it. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, that doesn't mean you won't bring in one of those guys to have a competition. I think there'll be somebody that comes in and competes that's got more experience, or, you know, maybe more of a threat to the job than Chase Daniel is, but I mean, he's not going to not be your starting quarterback.
That's what I said, Tim, too. And listen, I'm not professing that I know all. I'm looking at the situation. I know what Ryan Pace has invested in, and I'm not suggesting that Mitch is the answer. But I find it hard to believe that they aren't going to go to the gate next year. They're going to look at this season and say it was a blip. This was, you know, he had some injuries. He lost his confidence. My guess is they're going to go into the 2020 season with the same combo. And maybe that is idiotic, but that's where my money would go.
Tim, you're not even a help. Like, my whole life as a Bears fan has been like Rex against Kyle Orton in a quarterback battle. It's been Shane Matthews against Jim Miller. It's been Eric Kramer against Steve Walsh. I'm tired of mediocre quarterback battles. I need a guy, and that's why I must part with this guy prematurely, even if you view it as that.
Yeah, well, I just thought, here's my thing. It's not like I'm saying I think he's going to get turned around, because, like, the confidence thing is a real deal. And, you know, I don't know how you overcome that. Now, I just am saying, like, look around the league and, like, show me the examples. Like, you've got to be so bad. You've got to have off-the-field stuff for them to basically not let you get to the fifth-year option. Like, Marcus Mariota has not been good. You know, Jameis Winston has been awful. Like, and that, it's not like, here's the deal, Mitchell's been bad, but he's had one good season, you know, or, you know, promising season, probably be a better way to say it. So, like, you're not punting on that right away. Like, you're not doing, like, you're not. Now, he's awful next year. You know, then all of a sudden it's like, hey, listen, you got a guy behind you that's making, you know, $15 million. Like, and we're looking to play him.
Yeah.
All right, Tim. I don't feel any better. I got to be honest. I feel worse, actually, after this conversation.
Well, I mean, you also felt worse after the Jay Cutler conversation, I remember. You weren't a fan of him at all.
I was angry then. Yeah. Now I'm just sad.
Yeah, he's hurt. Yeah, I think he's beaten. He's a beaten man at this point.
Thanks,
I think
Tim.
Thank
we appreciate
you, Tim.
It.
See you, fellas.
Take
there
care. We've been talking to Tim Hasselbeck for years about our bad quarterback.
I'm telling you, and it's not like I'm co-signing on, hey, Mitch is going to be 100% better next year. I just know how these front offices think. And I'm telling you that with their limitations with what they can do with draft picks and with salary cap space, you may be right, Sylvie. They may bring in Marcus Mariota, and maybe they have a 50-50 competition.
How can you look Khalil Mack in the eye? And I know he hasn't performed as much.
I'd say sack somebody first.
You know, right. Or whoever. How could you, any of those guys who are giving it their all and say, you know what we're going to do to improve this team next year? We're going to try again with Mitch. How can you do that to the other 50-some guys?
Because they're going to say, the coaches are going to say, he's the same guy, guys, in 2018 that was 12-4 with you all and made that great throw to get you in field goal range against the Eagles. And if not for that Cody Parkey, we would have made it all the way into the NFC title game. Look, I'm not, like I said, I'm not being the co-author to this is the right thing to do. I'm just telling you, with my money, I know how front offices work.
And that's what you're saying,
and
Ryan
Pace
will do.
And that's where it's going.
All right, 312-332-3776. Guys, I'm from Chicago my entire life. You know who else has done all that work here in Chicago starting in 1979?
Permaseal.
And now for over 40 years, you're absolutely right. Waddles had work done by Permaseal in the basement.
As soon as I moved into my new house, it wasn't because I had issues. It was preventative what I had done, and they couldn't have been better and easier to work with.
And that's huge. And first of all, if you do have a basement that isn't dry 100% of the time, you need to call Permaseal right now at 800-421-SEAL. They're the experts. They're the ones you go to. I had Doug come to my house. He did that preventative maintenance inspection.
Doug
went
did?
Inside, outside, checked everything. And you know what? He gave me a clean bill of health.
Thank goodness.
So now next year, they're going to do it again and make sure that my basement stays dry. But if you have issues, anything with the plumbing issues in the basement, anything you can think of, go to their website. They're more than just the basement fixer-uppers. They're going to hook you up, whether you're Chicago, whether you're the Burbs, whether you're Northwest Indiana. Go to permaseal.net. That's permaseal.net, 800-421-SEAL. Be like Waddle. Be like me. Have Doug to your house. He'll check out your home, make sure everything's okay, and make sure your basement is permanently dry. It's Permaseal, 800-421-SEAL. Call them right now. Waddle's World is next. Trey Wingo at 4. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
It's that time again. when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him, and he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salt.
Thanks, John. Waddle's World brought to you by the great people at Wintrust Community Banks. They're Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus. Member FDIC. Okie dokie. Commissioner Rob Manfred says he believes the sign-stealing scandal that has engulfed the Major League Baseball world involves only the Astros.
Ah, BS.
Only the Astros.
That didn't, come on now, Rob.
And he can discipline them appropriately beyond the standard fine and draft pick penalties if necessary. Speaking as the owner at the owner's meeting, or as the owner's meeting began Tuesday, Manfred called the allegations of technology-driven sign-stealing by the Astros the most serious matter, said it relates to the integrity of the sport, and promised a really, really thorough investigation. Manfred said he does not have a timeline for the investigation, but, quote, I certainly would hope that we would be done before we start playing baseball again. So he's telling you that it's only the Astros.
Just the Astros. You don't believe that, do you?
I do not, no. I don't believe. Why would this be just unique to the Astros?
And remember, the guys who are on the Astros bench, one's now the manager of the Red Sox, and the other is the manager of the Mets.
Right.
The Brewers have been accused of that, too. Someone printed up a picture of the... Did you see the Brewers have a new uniform? They're going back
no,
to the...
No, I did not see
they're
that.
They're going back to the old MB logo with the Met that forms right. the M and the B. It's right. a classic logo.
Yeah,
it's
it
great. And someone put a picture, instead of the baseball in the middle of the glove, it's a camera. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Good job. Well done. Somebody got sacked. Who got sacked, guys?
Maurizio Pochettino. Poch.
Who is he?
The Tottenham Hotspurs.
Out less than 6 months after leading them to the Champions League final. Why did that happen, Meller?
They have underachieved and...
Oh. They went to the Champions League final.
That was last year, Waddle. They have been sluggish.
Well, hell, here in Chicago.
I may adopt this team.
That'd give him 10 more years.
I don't think... If this was the EPL, I don't think Nagy would have made it to week three.
Yeah, they're...
Do you think Mitch would have been sent packing too?
Oh, he'd be on he'd be on the bench.
He'd be in the MLS now.
But yeah, Pochettino.
And obviously, Fred would still be defending him.
Pochettino had overachieved with Tottenham for quite a few. It's kind of shocking because they are one of the lower spending clubs in the top six in the Premier League. So they do a lot with a little, and he's kind of being the blame's being put on him when, in all reality, they just don't spend enough to compete.
How does that call go when Mauricio calls home? Honey, I got sacked today. Isn't that what you call it?
So they don't say they got fired. Their term is you got sacked?
Yeah.
Like us with quarterbacks.
Well, we don't know. When was the last time we saw someone get sacked?
That's true.
Anyway, former Ravens offensive coordinator denies seeking Lamar Jackson be moved to wide receiver. Marty Morningweg has denied a report that last season, when he was the Ravens offensive coordinator, that he asked coaches whether they were going to move Jackson to wide receiver. That didn't happen. Never said that, Morningweg said in a statement today.
You don't want to be Marty Morningweg, do you? Like, your legacy is electing to kick on the overtime.
A CBS podcast from Monday night reported that Morningweg asked Ravens coaches, when are we going to move him to receiver last season? Ravens coach John Harbaugh also released a statement defending Morningweg, saying the organization was on the same page with Jackson. What was Cap's story today about how the Baltimore Ravens... Kind of the GM, Eric?
DaCosta.
Went rogue or went silent?
No, it was still... Was it Ozzie with DaCosta as his assistant doing this?
And I guess that, you know, there was some sort of vague comparison or implied comparison to what Ryan did by going rogue?
It was basically they didn't share information, just like Pace didn't share information, so that makes... Ryan Pace, right.
No. Well, I would say to you, Ozzie Newsome gets more. You give him more of a benefit of the doubt than Ryan.
More. Yeah. Ozzie Newsome was one of the best general managers ever. And number one, and you didn't trade up from 3 to 2 without
talent.
You traded back consistently. Yeah.
Antonio Brown has publicly apologized to Robert Kraft and the Patriots. Wow, have times changed. In a social media post on Twitter, why doesn't he just pick up the phone? If you want to apologize, pick up the phone. Why do you go
this
to Twitter?
Antonio
and Instagram?
Brown?
Yeah. In a social media post on Twitter and Instagram, Brown wrote, "Mr. Kraft, I apologize sincerely to you and your organization. All I wanted to be was an asset to the organization. Sorry for the bad media and the drama. Thank you sincerely, AB."
Well, is he doing this because he believes they're struggling offensively? Like, timing's everything, isn't it? He sees Tom Brady on the phone yesterday with EEI. Brady's complaining about the offense in his world.
Yeah.
You know him.
Yeah.
Does he believe if he apologizes, maybe they take him back?
Wow. Maybe he does, but I mean,
I bet you that's what the motivation behind it.
I think he's just trying to look a little less crazy so that he can win several of these grievances. He's got 8 grievances against the Raiders and the Patriots, according to Dan Graziano of ESPN. He's seeking $39.75 million in lost salary bonuses and guaranteed money. I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to cut back on the crazy meter. So he thinks maybe this is going to help.
Who will get a job first, him or Kaepernick?
Kaepernick would probably be more likely. I don't think either one. That would be that'd be my bet.
I don't think.
NFL job or job?
NFL job. Okay. A job in the league.
What would you say?
I'm with you.
Well, that's an interesting question.
I don't think AB's coming.
I think it's more like, I mean, is.
Why do you want that? After what he did this year, the bridges he burnt.
Now, I will say this. I think that Antonio Brown
could still be great.
Has more capacity to be great at his position than Colin Kaepernick does at this point.
That is interesting, though. How about the XFL? Because I'm with you guys. I think both are not very likely to play in the NFL anytime soon. So who does the XFL embrace more? Kaepernick, who already has issues if you bring him in a league you're trying to start up?
I think they'd take either
any
one
name.
Of them.
Well, do you believe, though, that they have enough money to woo them?
Well, I think there's got to be a salary cap. There's only so much you could pay them.
I mean, at a certain point, how much if you want to play football and the NFL is not calling?
That's a very good question.
Because the CFL is probably not going to reach out to either.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Watch Trestman sign AB.
But I don't know how much. I mean, what is like the?
I mean, he is selfish and undisciplined. So
right, that's a good point, Abdallah.
Mike Tomlin says the team accepts responsibility for their role in the brawl with the Browns. "Quote: It was ugly. It was ugly for the game of football. I think all of us that are involved in the game, particularly at this level, want to safeguard and protect the game, its integrity. And in that instance, it was compromised, obviously, with an unfortunate incident." He rebuffed the idea that the game-ending fight could be used as a teachable moment for his team. Nothing to learn there, he said. Philip Rivers is officially has been named master of the obvious, as he says he needs to cut out turnovers.
Did you see his reaction to the last interception, too? He'd like laid down on the ground, basically.
Well, he spent the whole game yelling at his left tackle. I mean, I know because Russell Okung was out, so he had a backup in. He spent the whole game yelling at other guys, and then every other time, in between yelling at his own guys, he was throwing it to the Chiefs.
All I could think about watching that game and the ending and the way they lose consistently by the one score is the one time this year, the Chargers did get the best of a team with a surprising last-second win was against our guys. Yeah. Like, the one time they were able to close out
a
team
kind of
and
year,
win.
Man. Sometimes you're the bug. Listen, you're the bug. Other years, you're the windshield.
In the Chargers'
defense,
they tried to give it away to the Bears in that game as much as they could. Nagy just did not want to take it.
We couldn't even take it.
Listen, go back. The Saints, I believe, were the last team that wasn't trying to give the Bears the game.
Yes, I know.
It's been a month since the team wasn't trying to gift the Bears a game. Carmelo Anthony set to wear 00 with the Trailblazers and could debut tonight.
He's not going to do anything with them, is he?
The Mavs, Luka Doncic, second youngest with a 40-point triple-double.
He's great.
Do you know he's averaging double-digit rebounds, isn't he?
He's really, really good.
Second youngest player in NBA history to have a 40-point triple-double behind only LeBron James.
He is,
I do believe he's averaging double-digit rebounds,
isn't he?
He's
averaging 29.5 points per game, 10.7 rebounds, and 9.3 assists.
He's awesome.
It's just a totally different game, though, too, the way they shoot the threes. And these stats are so jacked up right now.
Absolutely. You know what? In a lot of ways, it's like the passing stats in the NFL.
Right,
you can't compare an NBA, a modern NBA player's stats to like someone from the 90s. They're just not the same.
Rob Gronkowski won't say never on a return to the game, but not in 2019. Gronk hasn't ruled out the return, but says he has no plans to do so in this season. Wouldn't say never coming back, Gronk told ESPN today. I'm 30 years old. I'm young. I stay fit. Still watch the game whenever I can. Still enjoy it. I'm feeling good. But, you know, 1 year off could possibly be the case, or maybe 2 years off, man. It's always an option in the back of my head. It's not like I'm not staying in shape and not doing anything. I'm never stressed over it.
He'll play before Kaepernick and AB.
I think that's a good bet. He says he's bringing the fiesta to Miami with Gronk Beach Big Game Weekend presented by a bunch of places, including Monster Energy. So that's what his big announcement was, that he has, shockingly, Gronk's going to have a Super Bowl party.
It looks
party
like a baller
Miami.
Party. You got Rick Ross, Diplo.
Yeah, right. It is. There's a lot of good entertainers. And if the Patriots go, that place will be filled with a bunch of obnoxious Boston fans, won't I mean, you'll go to Gronk Beach, right?
Of course you will. No doubt. A North Dakota player crushes a pound of wings and finds out he's playing, and he scores a winning goal. Plotline: Josh Rieger's Saturday night adventure for the University of North Dakota would belong more in an Adam Sandler movie than any serious hockey film. Per the Grand Forks Herald, Rieger, a junior defenseman for North Dakota, was in Denver with the team for a series this weekend against the Pioneers. He wasn't slated to be in the lineup for Saturday night's game, so he did what a lot of people do with the night off. Instead of taking the team bus to the arena, he headed to a local establishment where the teammates started crushing wings.
Nice.
But then one of his teammates got sick and was scratched from the lineup. Rieger was the next man up. Nowhere to be found because, of course, he was crushing wings. Per the story, equipment manager Dan Johansson then FaceTimed Rieger, who knew something was up, Rieger said. He answered. Johansson asked Rieger if he was in the rink. Rieger said no. They were at the Cherry Cricket about 5 minutes
Cherry
away.
Cherry Cricket.
He told me, yeah, you've got to go out for warm-up. Johnny's not feeling good. I'm like, oh, okay. So I ordered an Uber and paid our bill.
Even if you're on, if you're being scratched, like, you're in college. Aren't you at the arena when you're playing a game with your team?
He scored,
why are you crushing wings?
He scored his first career goal in the first period, a tally that stood as the game winner in a 4-1 win
you
at Denver.
You know he's going to eat wings before every game now.
Louisiana man, 27 years of age, tells cops that the devil set him up in a meth case.
Someone sent this to us to try to use it as a Florida or Ohio.
After the bug-eyed Louisianan, 27, was arrested Friday evening for narcotics possession, he told cops the devil framed him. Responding to a 911 call about a suspicious person, police found red fern standing on a porch of a residence in West Monroe. According to a police report,
story.
Red fern lives about 20 miles away in a different town. As a sheriff's deputy approached him, Red Fern allegedly threw a white pill bottle containing meth into the yard. After being read his rights, Red Fern stated, "The devil framed me." Despite that compelling explanation, Red Fern was arrested and charged with felony narcotics possession. He was held on $3,000 bond. Devil made him do it. Bottle of lotion shuts down Daytona Beach International Airport.
Put the lotion in the basket.
Bottle of lotion shut down the place for about an hour. Not going to get in a lie. Yogurt sales sour as U.S. breakfast culture changes. Did you know this? Despite shelves full of new varieties from Icelandic to Australian to coconut-based, U.S. yogurt sales are in a multi-year slump. Yogurt companies are confident that more new products can boost sales, but some analysts are skeptical, saying larger trends like growing sales of protein bars will be hard to turn around. Consumers are just not eating as much yogurt as they once did.
Dairy, right? I mean, it's still dairy, isn't it?
U.S. sales of yogurt and yogurt drinks peaked at nearly $9 billion in 2015. In 2019, they're expected to hit $8.2 billion, only down 3.6%.
Do you eat
yogurt?
I used to, and I gave it up, too. So are you a yogurt guy?
I haven't had a yogurt in quite some time.
We're the reason why they're down.
That could be.
Boomers.
Excuse me? What does that mean? I keep seeing that. What is that reference to?
Baby boomers.
Is that what
we're not
that
baby means? Boomers.
I think we are officially, aren't we?
No. My parents, my mom's a baby boomer.
What are we, Gen Xers? What are we? I'm 52.
You're 85 Bears, what I know.
I believe I'm a Gen Xer. I believe. Hey, I'm definitely not a baby boomer.
It sounds like something boomer would say.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you a story about why people enjoy getting sick. It allows them to do something.
When were you guys born?
71 for me.
67.
Ooh, Waddle's close. You're not, Sylvie.
I mean, is it crazy to
64.
When you hear somebody say, I was born in the 60s. I was born in the 60s. Your first thought is, damn, you're old.
Damn, you're old. But we are Gen Xers. Gen Xers between 65 and 79, the years being born.
Okay, so we weren't baby boomers.
Yeah, we're don't Gen call Xers. Boomers.
Hey, Gen Xers.
Finding reliable contractors for small jobs around the house can be a pain in the rear end. But that's all changed because there's a new service that just came to Chicago called Jiffy. Jiffy is the easiest way to book small, quick jobs around the house or a big job, like having all the windows in your house cleaned. Like I had today. You know what I did? I went to my Jiffy app. Took like 30 seconds to book a job. Within 10 minutes, the contractor got back to me. We set a time. We had some snow, so we had to put it off. But then we set another time. And wouldn't you know, at 8 o'clock this morning, his crew came. And I think he's still there because I got a lot of windows at my house. But he came on time. All that we needed done was being done. Think Uber meets home maintenance, all right? Stop calling around. Download the Jiffy app like I did. You can even use my code Waddle, and you're going to get $50 off your first job today. All the work, 100% guaranteed. Each company is going to go through a thorough vetting process and be held to a high standard as rated by other users. Jiffy guarantees you'll be happy with each and every job. If not, they're going to do whatever it takes to make it right. Download the Jiffy app. Use my code Waddle for $50 off your first job today at JiffyOnDemand.com. Jiffy, fast and reliable home maintenance for less. I have a house with completely clean windows now.
That's fantastic.
So you can see in.
By the way, a lot of our friends have birthdays today. So a couple of birthday shout-outs, then we'll talk to Trey Wingo. Get back to the Bears. And I have an honest question for Waddle, that if he's Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy, how would he answer? We'll get to that at 4. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
I did not. Adam Abdallah, you have an update?
Oh, I mean, it's a baby announcement.
There's a baby announcement.
A baby announcement. A baby announcement.
Has there been a gender reveal yet?
A baby announcement. The Bryants, Chris Bryant and his wife, are expecting their first child.
All right. Congratulations to the Bryants. I thought maybe you and Whitney were expecting.
No, I just saw the tweet again. So
right. Somebody made
so
a
Bryce
joke,
Bryant
too.
Will be born, whether it's a boy or girl.
Did they show the ultrasound? Like someone made a joke with the ultrasound that it's already the baby inside the womb is already wearing the Boris Enterprises hat.
Oh, gotcha.
I thought that was pretty funny. By the way, it is Cap's birthday today.
Happy birthday to Cap.
He turned 70, so it's a big one
59.
For him. 70. Michael Wilbon, also, it's his birthday today.
29 for Michael.
He turns 59 today. Yeah. And it is Patrick Kane's birthday. It's a good
How
birthday.
How was Kaner?
Kaner is like 31 or he's in his early 30s now.
He's hotter than a depot stove. He's melting ice right now because he's so hot, isn't he?
They're playing good hockey right now.
But doesn't he have like some sort of ridiculous scoring streak going?
Yes.
You're supposed to help me with that stuff, Mallor. Some people enjoy getting sick.
You are correct, Tom.
Thank you. Some people enjoy getting I'm going to get my skates on sooner rather than later.
Kaner turns 31 today.
It's also Larry King's birthday.
Oh. 86.
He's 86 years old, yeah.
He's got 86 wives, too.
Some people enjoy getting sick because it lets them take a break. Believe it or not, nearly 1 in 3 Americans enjoy getting sick so they can take a break from their everyday life. A new survey of over 2,300 Americans found a surprising 29% of people actually welcome being sick from time to time in order to get some rest from their day-to-day tasks.
Yeah. I'd rather
go to work and hang out with all you clowns, jackals, whatever I want to call you, as opposed to not be feeling well and sitting at home.
All right, so Waddle is betting that Trubisky returns next year as the starter. I want to know that if they were being honest with us, the truth serum question, for Matt Nagy, how he would answer, how he views Trubisky and Ryan Pace, how he does that. We'll do that next and then talk to Trey Wingo.
I have answers for you. This hour brought to you by Vasectomy Chicago. Visit VasectomyChicago.com for information about their 30-minute no-needle, no-scalpel in-office vasectomy. That's VasectomyChicago.com. You want to keep this?
No. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.